Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Just delighted to be here with you. Thank you so much for being here with us on this Wednesday of Holy Week, the most important week in the history of the world. And I heard Tom Price earlier today. He said it. I wanted to repeat how he said it when he was on with David Anders, but the biggest, I can't remember, the history's most important week or something like that. I can't remember. I'll look it up and think about it, but I'll get back to you on it. Today we have a very fine show for you. Second hour, Jimmy will be here and we'll do an open forum, and that is always great. This hour, because this is the week that we celebrate the resurrection, this is the week we celebrate the foundation of the Eucharist and the priesthood and so many wonderful things. It's also the week that our Lord suffered. The Lord who came to be with us as one of us, this miracle beyond the possibility of asking for, and then he suffers for us and dies for us. And so that's what we're going to talk about this hour, suffering with Jesus. The fact that the Lord himself has suffered gives us a different perspective on suffering. The Christian perspective on suffering is different than you will find in any other, say, philosophy or teaching or religion in the world. Here to help us talk about suffering with Jesus, and please call if you have questions about that or you want to talk about suffering in the Christian context, 888-318-7884. Here to help us do that is Simone Vizcala. We call her Ms. Riz, and she's the Director of Program Growth at Endow Groups. She's an affiliate apologist with us here at Catholic Answers, and also just a really fun person to talk to. Simone, thanks for being here with us.
Thank you so much, Cy. Great to be here.
We just got you on the phone for the moment. We'll get you on the video and everything in a second. And that has nothing to do with, that's not on your end, Simone. That's on our end. We had a little technical glitch. But I'm so glad that you're here. And I usually have a great deal of fun talking with you. But suffering is a horrible reality. And mm-hmm. And I know you teach, a good part of what you do is teach the documents of the church, many of them documents of Pope John Paul II. And this is something that we saw him suffer, but we also received his teaching on suffering a great deal. Why? I really feel like sometimes you just want to ask, why, Lord? Why all this suffering?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. I always kind of, with this topic, I do teach it. We have an Endow study guide on it. But I mean, that's the ultimate theological question, is why do we suffer? Because any intellectual response to that is just not going to satisfy, because we don't just suffer intellectually. Suffering intellectually is what we would call ignorance. We suffer with our whole person. So any kind of intellectual explanation is offensive, because number one, it strips it of the mystery of suffering, but also because we suffer physically, morally, spiritually, psychologically. There's so many dimensions to suffering. And John Paul II talks about that. He said, he talks about suffering belonging to man's transcendence.
Oh, yeah. So and our intellect is not, can be transcended. In other words, our intellect cannot simply grasp and process the transcendent. So if it's something that is connected to our own transcendence, we will, and at some point, have to, in humility, accept that the Lord has a reason without being able to explain or give an exhaustive explanation of why.
Exactly. I mean, part of that suffering belonging to man's transcendence is that we are the only creatures animals suffer too, but we're the only creatures that know that we're suffering, right? When animals suffer, they don't know that they're suffering, even if they're suffering. But we are aware that what we're experiencing is, in fact, suffering. So we can ask that question, why, which is a truly human question. But then, like you said, it's something that we have to accept, knowing that we're not going to have the full picture to the meaning of our individual suffering until everything's revealed at the end of time.
So when you teach about this, does it come with a caveat that we can talk about suffering. We can come to have an understanding of the Christian perspective on suffering, but we can't, just make it like a settled issue. You can't ever in a human life make it a settled issue. I'm completely clear on all of this.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel better now. I think that's exactly. I think my first, when I teach this, and I've taught a couple courses on his document, Salve Vici Dolores, on the Christian meaning of suffering. My first kind of, agenda item is that sometimes Catholics have a love affair with suffering. I got that phrase from my friends Jim and John at Catholic Revival Ministries, who blogged about this, but that Catholics tend to have a love affair with suffering, right? So I think that in a way that comes from a good place of like wanting to like pick up our crosses, right? But then a lot of suffering can in fact and should in fact be alleviated and be healed. When we're talking about suffering in the Christian sense, we're talking about everything that we would call a legitimate cross, a legitimate suffering, something that we have, that has not been settled and that we are trying to settle. So, yeah, we're never going to have an intellectually satisfying answer to suffering, to the Christian meaning of suffering, but we can have we can look at John Paul II's document and still find relief in that, I think. But he does say that suffering does sometimes cause people to deny God, right? And we know this, right? I cannot believe in God because I can't believe in a God who would allow this kind of suffering. And instead, part of the Christian meaning of suffering is that instead of denying God, suffering becomes an invitation to dialoguing with him. So we never want to settle the question. Even when we are embracing our legitimate crosses, we want to keep it as a provocation, as an invitation to continue dialoguing with God.
Our number is 888-318-7884. You are very welcome to get in on this conversation, whether you're Catholic or not Catholic, whether you subscribe to Christian beliefs, especially on suffering, or do not subscribe to them. We just like having conversations about these things, and you are welcome here. 888-318-7884. Simone Rizcala is our guest. All right, so this document, Salve Vici Dolores, what do we find in there? Why did he write it, and what's he trying to communicate to us in that document?
Well, I really appreciate with John Paul II, like you mentioned at the beginning, that he allowed us to see him suffer.
Yes.
Especially in the end, when his Parkinson's was very apparent, he didn't really hide that. And I think I moved to tears as I talk about it now, because he really wanted, I mean, talk about a Christian, a man of conviction. I am showing you the humiliation and the difficulty and the struggle of my physical suffering and I'm still affirming Christ here in all this. So he's letting the world see it and share in it. And we know from knowing his story, and he brings it up in the document, living through surviving two world wars. Well, he was born in 1918, so at the end of the First World War, but to have to suffer and to have witnessed what he experienced living under Nazi and communist occupation, you can't say this man like didn't understand suffering. To see his friends get murdered, to see his fellow seminarians disappear, during underground seminary, to have to hide at, his theater troupe as a form of Nazi resistance, to know that his youth minister, Jan Tiernowski, could have been arrested and killed on the spot if the Nazis found it. I mean, he knew what suffering was. So when he writes about this, he's writing it, and he does this in other documents, which I also appreciate. He's writing it with a lot of credibility, and he's writing it as what he calls like a meditation, a shared meditation. He says this a lot. Like, I invite, again, with that understanding that suffering can be then an invitation to dialogue, not to deny, not to settle the question, but to continue that relationship with the God that I'm in relationship with, and I want to communicate with. So he presents it as a meditation, not someone who has all the answers per se.
I want to get into what that dialogue is meant to produce in us. We're going to have to take our break, and there are folks on the line. If you would like to get in on the conversation about suffering, this is a week where we, in a very stark way, confront the fact that God does not magically make suffering disappear. God, for whatever his reasons are, he takes on suffering as the means of saving us. Simone Riscala is our guest. We'd love your call, 888-318-7884. Right back after this to continue on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
I'm continually amazed and humbled at the way God can work through me to help so many people. Although I have no idea what the caller's questions will be that day, I trust that the Holy Spirit can use my education and experience to guide, challenge, or comfort those who call.
Mast Appeal with Colleen Kelly Mast, Saturday morning, 9 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Simone Riscala. If you don't know about Endow groups, what they do as far as women studying the faith together by reading the documents of the Catholic Church and studying them together, you should find out about it. Simone, the website is what for Endow?
E-N-D-O-W, endowgroups.org.
Endowgroups.org. Do check it out. Simone also is an affiliate apologist here at Catholic Answers, which is a great privilege for us to be associated with her and all the great work that she does. And you are welcome to call with your questions, 888-318-7884. And this week that our Lord suffered, and we remember the suffering of the Lord. We're talking with Simone a bit about a document called Salve Vici Dolores. Simone was telling me at the break that this was written just 3 years after Pope John Paul II was shot and endured a suffering that brought him to death's door, really. So this was fresh in his mind as he wrote.
Yeah. I mean, and he released it on the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, a feast, you know, of healing.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. So very interesting.
So, The idea that you've shared with us that I'm taking away, and I'm going to treasure this one because this is very helpful. The idea that really suffering is not to just be closed off or close us off from God or close us off from those who find God guilty in their suffering, but rather to be the opportunity for an opening of dialogue. I imagine that. There is a reason for this. I don't know what the reason is, but that dialogue often must, for many of us, I know it does for me, begin with the word why. You know, why did you even set it up this way? Because you're the creator of all of this, and you don't ever get a dispositive answer to the question why. But where does Pope John Paul see the dialogue going? What's the idea of certainly opening ourselves to dialogue with God connected to our suffering is a very great good. Where does he see the dialogue going?
Yeah, well, he begins the document by quoting, when we're talking about the salvific, Salve Vici Dolores, the salvific meaning of suffering, the Christian meaning of suffering, the short answer is that suffering contributes to our salvation, right? Mm-hmm. Then he uses this whole document to unpack what is meant by that. So he begins with St. Paul's
saying, in my flesh, I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body that is the church. And that's a very mysterious line. I complete what is lacking.
Yeah.
Why does, there is something like lacking in Jesus? How do I help complete what's lacking? What's my contribution in the body of Christ? I find it very interesting that because if we want to, like St. Paul, come to that conviction, right? We want to dialogue to the point where we can say, I know the meaning of my suffering. It contributes to salvation. There's a redemptive quality to suffering. It means something, and it means something eternally. John Paul II says that, you know, in his own words, in the beginning of this document, that St. Paul's judgment comes at the end of a long road. So it's not like day one of suffering, we can all be like, you know what? Cool. Because I'm participating in the salvation.
Great. I finally come to my time of suffering. This is great.
Yeah, I get to participate in this. Like, no, it's, you know, John Paul II keeps it real. He's like, St. Paul, this is at the end of a long road of dialoguing, right?
Yeah.
A certain level of friendship, of spiritual maturity. And he'll talk about that later. He'll say that suffering contributes to our moral greatness. There, and I think it's a Leon Bloy quote that I love so much. It says, oh my gosh, I wish I had this memorized, but I'm going to butcher the poetry, but something like, you know, I've suffered, and because of my suffering, there is existence in me that's been created that wasn't there before.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm talking
that's
about?
That's very easy to identify with. Yeah. That makes sense. There is a way in which suffering is expansive. It creates something more of me than was there before.
Exactly. And so part of an answer to that, to the Christian meaning of suffering, is that in that growth, in that moral greatness, in that expansiveness, I'm then beginning to participate in the definitive meaning of suffering, whose source is love itself.
Ah. Wow.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
And then that, yeah.
Which
no,
is,
go ahead.
No, it's beautiful until I stub my toe. And then, do you see what I'm saying? All, and maybe not all out the window, but a lot of my enthusiasm for this theology is out the window as soon as my toe hits the bedpost.
Yeah, absolutely. Love sounds great, but love is not actually a sentimental thing at the heart. And we know that because we're in a week and entering into a Triduum where love doesn't seem beautiful at all. It seems very gruesome, brutal, violent, humiliating, you know, excruciatingly existentially painful. So I agree with you. And John Paul II doesn't really hide that at all in the document. And there's a lot of discussion about, obviously, Jesus and the cross, where we come head to head with that mystery of suffering. I think the thing that makes this document for me so helpful is that it's the answer to the mystery of suffering is a vocational answer. It's not just I'm becoming a more expansive, different person, but the way that I respond to suffering is itself the response to the meaning of suffering.
Wow. All right. This is going to, I need to be a better person. There's a lot of people on the line. I feel like I'm ready to go to calls if you're ready, Simone.
Sure.
Simone Riscala, our guest. We're talking about the meaning of suffering from the Christian perspective on this week where we, among the many things we do, we remember the most horrible thing that God himself has suffered for us, but also the most unexpectedly magnificent thing in history. So we'll go to Michelle in Fort Worth, Texas, listening to EWTN on Channel 130 Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Michelle, please go ahead with your question for Simone.
Hi, Simone. My question is kind of long-winded, but I'll try to make it short. For most of my life, or what I can remember starting at teenage years, I started battling with anxiety and depression. And I do not tend to suffer very well. In fact, I can never remember thinking that this is something that I can learn from. And I just joined the church, actually, 2 years ago. And so I've been learning a lot about suffering and kind of this theology in the Catholic Church about suffering. And I heard it said, and I don't remember who said it, don't waste your suffering. And this was very difficult for me to hear, because when I suffer, I do not suffer well. And I am now finding myself feeling guilty for not suffering well, or not offering it up, as they say. And I don't even know what that means and how to practice that, because I tend to battle pretty bad with mental health. So what does it look like to not waste your suffering? What should I do in those moments where I tend to doubt God, but I know that he loves me and that he's there, but it's like, it's a battle of the will and a battle of the mind. And I'm never going to leave God, but at the same time, I'm battling, why is this happening to me? And then I'm battling within myself, why can't I suffer well? So that's my question.
Oh, yeah, that was very well put.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing all of that. Well, there's so many things I want to say in response to that. First, I would continue to ask the question of why. One of the reasons, I have to believe the book of Job, I don't know if you're familiar with the book of Job in the Old Testament, but one of the reasons I think that that book has to be in the Old Testament is that it's God giving us emotional permission to just say, what is going on? Why? This is unmerited, undeserved, because Job really represents the truth that innocent people suffer. Bad things happen to good people. It is true that sin and, you know, sin causes a lot of suffering. But for example, in your situation, anxiety, depression, there is no sin there. It is a mental health issue. So there's a ton of unmerited suffering. So the book of Job, in my mind, is a way of God saying, I want you to talk to me like Job. I want you to be free with me like Job, and ask why, and let it, don't, because when you said, like, I'm never going to leave God, well, praise God, you're never going to leave him. But that's kind of like the bottom, right? Like, I'm never going to leave this marriage. I'm not happy in this marriage, but I'm never going to leave it. Well, we want to like grow out of that into a deeper intimacy and a deeper relationship, right? So to continue to go back to God and to ask why allows you to move forward from that. I also don't like phrases like offer it up or don't waste your suffering. I think they're annoying. And I think they're typically said by people who haven't themselves, this is super judgmental, but haven't themselves been like Job and confronted their own suffering. Because for this person who's really embraced their own suffering and have taken that path, they might probably know how obnoxious it is to hear those things. So you don't want to waste your suffering, but I don't know that anybody should ever say that to someone in a way that isn't relational and attuned to what the other person might be going through. So I want to affirm you in that. And I guess the third thing I want to say to you is, I would say that anxiety and depression are the sort of things where, yeah, sometimes we don't get healed from it. It's a cross we have to bear our whole lives. But I think I invite you to ask for healing for it and to seek out healing for it. And if you wanted to message me later on my blog or email me, I can overwhelm you and ambush you with all sorts of resources for healing and deliverance.
Michelle, what do you think?
Thank you. I'm trying really hard to not cry right now. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, you're so welcome.
Thanks for crying's okay too. You don't have to try too hard not to cry. That's okay. I'd like to send you a book from Jimmy Akin that we have here. It's called The Words of Eternal Life. If you'd like it, I will send it to you. And because we can connect, Michelle, with you, Simone. Was that what you were saying? Like, she could send us an email at radio@catholic.com, and we'll get it to you.
Yeah.
Is that what you'd like?
I'd love to connect with you, Michelle. Yeah.
Okay, Michelle.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, that sounds great.
If you want the book, hang on the line. And the email address here, anybody can reach us at this email address, radio@catholic.com, radio@catholic.com. It finally came to me what Tom Price said today, and I was like, oh, that's a great way to talk about this. And it just came to me. It just popped into my mind. He said, the week that changed the world. That's how he said it today. And the reason it popped into my mind, I think, was because Charles, the producer over at EWTN, just called Darren, and then Darren wrote it down on the document right here for me. So then it just popped into my mind, the thing that I was trying to remember.
Love it.
That's how my mind works.
Love it.
If somebody tells me what to say, I say it. This week, the week that changed the world, as Tom Price says, we will be right back with more with Simone Rizcala, talking about a very serious topic, suffering. Why, Lord? Why so much suffering? If you've got questions, we'd love to have them. 888-318-7884.
Are you ready to defend your faith in a world of unbelief? Join us at the 9th Annual Catholic Answers Apologetics Conference. This year's theme, I Believe in God. And it'll help you provide clear and charitable answers to atheism, agnosticism, and plain old indifference. Don't miss what promises to be the event of the season. Join us in San Diego from September 21st through 24th as we welcome our special guest, Dr. Scott Hahn, and an all-star lineup of great Catholic speakers. Spend quality time with your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and enjoy 4 days of fun, fellowship, and adoration of the Almighty. Seats are still available, but they're going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 888-291-8000 to register. Enter promo code EARLY and save $50. That's CatholicAnswersConference.com.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity. In the early church was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Miracles and movies come together as Father Martin Lateef, Bryson Newman, and Ann Major talk about Miracle at Manchester.
Tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on most of these EWTN stations.
And now back to Catholic Answers Live with Cy Kellett.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Simone Rizcala is our guest, and she's the director. Well, no, don't even tell me, Simone. Do not tell me. I will get this. I got Tom Price's quote wrong, but I'm going to get director of program growth for Endow Groups, which is an apostolate that calls women together to study the important documents of the Catholic Church. And as you can tell, by the way, I just said that. I've memorized that. That was not, there was clearly no reading going on there. You can find them at endowgroups.org, E-N-D-O-W, groups.org. Simone, thank you for being here. Among the documents that you teach is Salvivici Doloris, or you say Doloris. I'm not sure how you're supposed to say it in Latin, but, and it's about suffering. And so that, we're really grateful you came here today to talk about suffering and the Christian meaning of suffering. We do have several more folks on the line for you. Shall we continue to go to the phones?
Yeah, all right. We should.
All right. Gloria in Michigan, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Glad you're here, Gloria. Go ahead with your question for Simone.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Simone, I listened to what you said to Michelle, and you know, I know what you said. With me, it's two rare diseases neither one is curable.
Oh, Lord.
One, they can't even do anything to help with any of the pain or anything. Mm. They're long, they're very slow, so it's a real long, drawn-out thing. And unfortunately, it doesn't have to be bad the entire way.
Right.
And then, you know, of course, add to that with a lifetime of depression. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I prayed, I asked God, because I know that trust is one of my issues to, you know, develop trust. Maybe this is his way of doing it. I don't know. But, you know, you talked about Job. Well, let me go back to this is going through the lens of, God, what did I do?
Yep.
Why have you abandoned me, basically?
Yep.
Why did you do this? How can I get anything good out of not being able to go a place and not being able to do anything, not being able to think clearly, not being able to read things? Not, you know, how can you build anything out of that? But mm-hmm. when we come to Job, the other thing is God allowed Satan to kill off all his children, okay? I'm afraid of if whatever he's teaching me is he'll allow it to destroy my children. You know, I've heard people say that you can offer it for other people, that somehow my pain can help somebody else. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's legitimate or not. And I guess I'll just leave it there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of that. There are just a couple things in what you said that I want to address. I don't know anyone who immediately is great at trusting God or anyone. So you are not alone there. And John Paul II talks about the solidarity that comes with suffering, right? The other thing is you mentioned his way of doing it, his way of growing my trust. God doesn't inflict suffering or allow suffering to teach lessons, although we do learn lessons. But that's not his reasons. Those aren't his reasons. Because if God's primary reason for allowing suffering is to, like, teach me a lesson, that sounds like a pretty cruel God, and he's not a cruel God. So this isn't just, like, a really hard lesson you have to pass. So even though there is a distinction between God allowing and God causing suffering, God doesn't cause suffering, God doesn't cause evil, which causes suffering, but he does allow it. Now, that intellectual distinction doesn't really console, right? Because at the end of the day, like, we know that he's allowing suffering. But it's not about the lessons, primarily. So just know that, because I think that can help maybe reframe your mentality as to who God is. In terms of using it to help other people, firstly, as we were saying earlier, what we don't want to waste when it comes to suffering is the vocational aspect to it, which is that there is a change in you, a substantial change in you, a moral greatness, a spiritual maturity, and dare I say, a beauty in you, that kind of glory that comes from suffering. I think Sai used the word an expansiveness of heart. So that's something to grapple with and to take to the Lord. How is this growing my person into the beauty that God intends to grow in my person? So that's primarily the first thing. Because again, if we're using St. Paul as our kind of threshold guide to suffering and growing in the Christian meaning of suffering and growing in how we're supposed to, you know, transform by suffering, at some point, St. Paul comes to the very mature judgment of saying, now I rejoice in my sufferings. And you're like, wait a minute, joy and suffering? That is not my immediate response. It's not really joy. But again, as John Paul II reminds us, that's after a long road. There is a long road to get to that judgment, meaning a relationship doesn't immediately go towards joy. The word joy and the word grace has the same root word in scripture. So even when we experience joy in suffering, which is possible, it's a grace, and it's a grace of a relationship. To answer your question about the offering it up thing or how it can help be used to other people, yes, absolutely. Your sufferings, and this is why I think you should take a look at the document, and maybe you should take a look at it with Endow, because our study guide's really great on this. You know, there is this understanding that when I get to that point of friendship with God, where I have reached a certain level of trust, I can say, God, use this for service in the mystical body of Christ. Firstly, for me, and then secondly, or along with, for the development of the mystical body of Christ. The other thing that I invite you to, lastly, and I hope I'm not being too long-winded here, is that when we do that, when we enter into that kind of profound prayer and dialogue, then we can begin to see how the suffering is actually positively contributing to the church and to the world and to myself and my relationship with God. That comes, again, with a lot of spiritual work.
Gloria, thank you. I'd like to send you a copy of Jimmy's book, The Words of Eternal Life, True Happiness, and Where to Find It as well. And I give that to people just because I like it. I think that everybody, well, I just assume people will enjoy it. I really appreciate, Simone, the insight you keep sharing, that these Christian teachings and these Christian kind of places that we get to often come after a long road. You don't start out going, I rejoice in my sufferings.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I think, Sai, you were sharing, was it during the break, about how you noticed in yourself, in your self-reflection, your own personal growth after suffering, after bouts of suffering?
Yeah, that was at the break. I didn't want to talk about that on the air, but thanks a lot.
Okay. No. I got scared.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to scare you, Simone.
Like,
I was only kidding. Yeah, I was
just
telling you.
Opened up the bridal chamber of Sai's spiritual life there.
Yeah,
for the whole
right.
world in here.
Yeah. Well, I'm not. It's just in a very small way for me. I'm not like Saint Catherine of Siena or something. I'm not one of the great sufferers of the church. But I did notice this after when I was a child, after a fever that went on and on and was very horrible to me as a child. I mean, a sense of peace that came once it passed, and that a peace that I had never experienced before. And it just was like a little clue, like, I don't know. I didn't make any sense of it. I didn't have any theology of it or something. It was just like a little clue to the meaning of suffering, this sense of peace that followed the fever.
Yep.
I want to go to Deborah in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Covenant Radio. Deborah, you are very welcome here. Thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Simone.
I've been in a long season of physical suffering, about 7 years. It's like one thing after another, along with some chronic things. And it's been very fruitful and very wonderful to see God's changing me. And he's been close, and he's always given me comfort. But I have some past trauma in my life that I'm healing from. And my spiritual director was talking about, it's hard to accept suffering. And I told him, I said, well, actually, it's easier for me to accept suffering. It's easier for me to accept suffering than it is to accept God's good gifts he wants to give me.
Yeah.
And that just comes from the trauma. So like I'm praying to Rhoda Wise for miraculous healing. And I feel like, should I even just do that? So for me, the journey that I'm on right now, and I'm still enduring the physical suffering, but when I pray, he tells me over and over very strongly that he's healing me. And and in times when it gets bad, I will say, Lord, if you've called me to a life of, if your will for me, for your purposes, is a life of disability, I accept it. But he always says, no, that's not the life I have for you. But getting my heart to just open up and accept that maybe he does want to give me miraculous thing, or that, and even though I know his words are true, there's just a part of me that is just hard to accept it for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is an effect of trauma, to come to heal enough from the trauma or the effects of trauma, so to speak, to be able to really fully believe God wants, desires, and is working overtime to heal you and to give you good gifts. I think that you understand your spiritual framework quite well, actually. And I just want to encourage you to keep pursuing healing and keep pursuing and growing in that faith that God in his nature wants great things for you and doesn't want you to suffer in these physical ways.
Deborah, thank you very, very much. I'm so glad that you introduced the whole notion of healing into our conversation about suffering, because that obviously Christ's own ministry is a ministry of healing, and it's important that we not forget that as well. If you'd like a copy of it, I'd like to send you a copy of Jimmy's book, The Words of Eternal Life, True Happiness and Where to Find It. And I hope we will speak again, but I got to go to the break. We'll be right back with more conversation about suffering on this week in which we remember the suffering of our Lord. Right back with more Simone Riscala on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
If it's central to the faith, you can find it on EWTN Podcast Central, featuring the best of EWTN radio, as well as faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates across the nation, all in one place, all free. The destination for great Catholic audio programming is EWTN Podcast Central. It's like podcast heaven. Visit EWTN.com/radio/podcasts today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I would like to say one thing that I really appreciate about Simone Riscala, our guest, is that during the break she says mean things about Joe Heschmeyer, and that makes me so happy. You all are friends, you and Joe.
Yeah. I'm going to have to tell him. Well, I hope he's listening right now.
No, I do appreciate that. It makes me feel better. I don't know why, when people say mean things about Joe Heschmeyer. Laura in Nebraska, listening on 91.5 FM. So glad you're here. Laura, go ahead with your question for Simone. Laura?
Hello.
Hi. Yeah, you're on with Simone Riscala.
Yeah, hello?
Hi, Laura. You're on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you.
No, that's fine.
I had told him it wasn't really a question. It was more just kind of something that came to me as I was listening to I can't even remember the person who she was talking to. Who Simone was talking to, because she was talking about anxiety. But it was, and now my mind completely blanked. I told him I didn't actually have a question. It was more about when you guys went to break after that phone call and you said who she was, who Simone was, and what she, you know, does. About studying documents. So that's all I really caught before I kind of.
Oh, so you
knew I needed a call.
You're interested in some of the documents to study.
Yes, or in what she's talking about. Simply because it was an issue that was brought to me just recently. Somebody not necessarily questioning me, but I don't know much about background in Catholic faith and all that. You know, my faith in God and knowing who He is and what I know He can do for me who He is to me.
Amen.
That's one thing, but he said, well, you would be very easily misled, come upon like a Mormon person or somebody of a different faith. You're very much at risk of being, misled. And I was like, well, no, I don't think so. Just because I don't know or can't defend my faith, in quotes. I don't think that would, just because I don't know that.
No, you.
I don't even know how.
Yeah, so
I don't even know really how to explain it. So.
Well, it sounds to me, Laura, and you can tell me if I'm getting this wrong, but it sounds to me like the word of God took root in you. It didn't fall on rocky soil. It took root, and you're confident that it took root in you. You're just not confident in being able to explain it all.
No, No, at all. And so, okay. Then when you said what she does, then I was like, okay, I need to call it. And then another thing is my birthday is May 23rd, and literally as I was recording it, it was at 5:23. And so to me, it was like, all right, I have to call now. Now I have to call because this is, you know, gonna give me the information that I needed for something that happened to me a couple of days ago. Numbers to me have been, God's communicating me in numbers, like, since all of March. It really happened. Me and my daughter were in a bad accident. Like, but there's a lot of significance in March that happened, and that God was right there. Like, I knew he was right along with me, letting me know, okay, it's coming, but I'm going to be there, and you guys are going to be okay. And we were okay, and we are okay. And then, you know, to hear what I just heard and knowing that you have now the information that I need next, I feel like.
Wonderful. All right. So, Laura, what a beautiful call, and thank you so much. So, Simone, can you help her? Like, she wants to take up the invitation. You said you help women study the documents of the church. Help her.
Yeah. Laura, can we give you my email address? And I would love to, you know, meet with you and talk about what it means to have an endowed study, which is an 8 to 12 week examination of a document. So we have over 20 documents. Salvavita Dolores is one of them, but there are others as well. I love the fact that you know that, I love the way that Sai talked about the word of God is rooted in you. So, you know, you're it's there. Catholic.com exists whenever you need a quick answer to things. I mean, that's, you know, apologetically is perfect, but I would love to encourage you to actually like do a deep dive into a document. So please reach out to me, check out endowgroups.org, but also just email me directly, and I'd love to talk to you about it.
And Edgar will give you the email address if you'll hang on, Laura, but he'll also get your address if you'd like a copy of Jimmy's book, The Words of Eternal Life, True Happiness and Where to Find It, which I can't stop giving out today.
Yeah. You're like Oprah today. Books for everyone.
And now you get a book, and you get a book.
You get a book.
Let's see. I'm trying to think where I'm going. Am I going to line one now? All right. Father Deacon Lawrence in Michigan. I think we've spoken with Father Deacon Lawrence before, but I'm not sure. Listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Have we spoken before?
Yes, we have.
I thought so, because I don't talk to many Father Deacons. Being a member of the Latin Rite, I don't get too many Father Deacons.
Right, right. Yeah, a lot of people question me about that. Just listening to the first couple of questions, first couple of calls that were, something came to mind for me. It's no sin to ask why. Jesus says on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? So it's no sin to ask, why are you going through this suffering? I've gone through a lot of mental suffering, depression, going back over 40 years now. One of the things I found very helpful is I became good friends with Father John Ricardo about 20, 25 years ago. I got to meet him one-on-one. We'd run into each other at funeral homes and church events and stuff like that. But one event that he had at the parish he used to serve, he was talking with a friend of mine whose husband was going through cancer treatment, and they were doing a lot of experimental stuff. And as he was about to leave, he said, hey, give me a call sometime. Let's get together for lunch. I had a lunch with him, which we didn't eat. It was just him standing at his chair in his office, was talking for an hour. And one of the things that I've learned from him, rather than this, he doesn't like the offering up thing. He likes unite our suffering to the Lord. And one of the things when I told the call screener is, I would recommend anybody who has questions about suffering to listen to the homilies that Father John Ricardo gave at both his mother and his mother and father's funerals, which you can find on YouTube. And because his mother, most of Father John's life from childhood on, she was in pain and suffering. He always gave her lists of people to pray for. And it was interesting. One of his sisters actually had a sense that she was to be healed. And she just kind of laughed it off, but she ended up being healed, She was winning her tennis league, joined a tennis league, but then she went back. Something happened, and, you know, she ended up suffering for the rest of her life. But, you know, you can always use that as to pray for other people.
Father Deacon, I'm going to let Simone respond, because there was two things I would love to hear Simone's response to. First of all, that this idea that asking why is not sinful, and then the idea of using a phrase like joining your suffering to Christ's suffering.
Yeah, I mean, I think that goes back to God encouraging us to ask why first, in that he made us rational creatures. So, of course, we're going to ask why. That's how he designed us. We're rational creatures. We're body soul composites, but also that the book of Job exists, and the full, if you're familiar with the scriptures, there's a lot of people, a lot of Israelites slash others who are constantly questioning and grappling and wrestling. And I mean, the word Israel means to wrestle with, you know, wrestling with God, you know? So, and I go back again to the book of Revelation. I would that you would be hot or cold, but the lukewarm I'm going to spit out. He wants us to be in relationship with him. He it's almost like he likes it when we're whining to him. So we've got the emotional permission. And I think sometimes we want to fall into, we fall into this intellectualism world. Well, I know God's right. And I know, like he says, you know, St. Paul says in Romans, he's working out all good things for the good of those who love him. True. We understand it, we believe it, but on a relational level, like you mentioned, Father Deacon Lawrence, I think is your name. Like you mentioned, this is okay. And we don't have to ask why in a clean way. We can ask why in a passionate way, like Job, who's like Pope Benedict said, hurls accusations at God. You know, how could you do this to me? So I think we can finally get to that point in church culture where we are okay with the anger, bitterness, anxiety, that resentment that we have toward God, so we can move away from all of that into a loving relationship and trusting relationship with him. But we can't really get to a deep relationship with God until we first go through that. I'm kind of mad at you about XYZ. So thanks for pointing that out. And then I think
joining your suffering to Jesus.
I mean, this might be embarrassing to say on the radio, but like, I can't do dishes without offer. I think dishes are so offensive. Washing dishes, talk about not knowing how to suffer well. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to do the dishes, so I have to offer this up.
Wow, you are a baby. I didn't know that about you.
I'm such a baby.
What a whiner. Okay. All right. So.
I mean, God wastes nothing, right?
Yes, right.
He wastes nothing. And I literally won't do household chores unless I know it's going to help somebody in China or something, you know, somebody in a camp, you know, or, you know, because he wastes nothing. And if it's true that we can offer small things with great love and that this has a redemptive quality to it, then me washing dishes, uniting myself to Jesus, even though that's a stupid example, you could say, but actually,
yeah,
it's
but not. It's not though. That's why I'm so happy you shared it, and I tease you a little bit about whining, but that's the point,
oh,
isn't
true.
It? That there's nothing that we suffer in this life, even the tedium of doing the dishes, that he doesn't love us through and want us to join him in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll even be more embarrassing on air.
I don't think you can.
When there's just like a mess in the house. I'll do it for Jesus. I won't do it because I need to live in a neat place. I'll be like, oh, look, Jesus, you left the room so untidy. I will clean this up for you.
Yes.
I'll do it for you. but for me, forget it.
But I love it, Simone. Thank you. Father Deacon, thank you so much. I very much appreciate the call. And I don't know if you've read it, but I'll give you, if you'd like, a copy of Jimmy Akin's book, The Words of Eternal Life, True Happiness, and Where to Find It. Simone Rizcala is part of a group doing wonderful things, Endow Groups. Find them at endowgroups.org. And they are groups in which women share the Catholic faith with one another by reading the documents of the Catholic Church. Simone, thank you so much. Could you just be on more? Like, we need to have you on more. Are you going to answer me?
Would love it.
Oh, was that a no? Oh, I didn't know if that was. You just kind of stared at me when I asked it. Okay. Oh, now I'm suffering.
No.
All right. Jimmy Akin coming up right after this. Thanks so much, Simone. We'll be right back with more. This time, Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live.